Morning, Saints. Good morning, Saints. How we doing today? All right, or two in the. How we doing today? Y'all ready to celebrate Jesus? Y'all ready to celebrate Jesus? I'm just trying to wake y'all up this morning, cause this is praise and worship time.
All right, everybody, we came to the King's house to celebrate Jesus, so I'm going to need everybody to just stand up. Everybody stand up. We honor the King in here, right? I want you to take a leap of faith this morning. I want you to come up to the front. We're about to have a whole lot of fun in the presence of God. Amen? All right. We're going to start off in prayer. Father, I thank you for allowing us to be in your presence, God. I thank you for the honor and the privilege of being able to worship you, Jesus. I thank you for the testimony that you've given all of us, God. And I thank you that we can celebrate you, celebrate the fact that you're a good King, celebrate the fact that we're not good, but you are good on the inside of us, Jesus. I celebrate the fact this morning that you have made us whole, you have made us pure, you have made us clean. And because of that, we can come before you and just bask in your presence. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me hear a shout for Jesus. Go ahead. A little bit louder. Go ahead. Shout it out. Woo! Go ahead. Put your hands together.
Broken heart, you pick me up, now I'm set apart. From the ash I am born.
y'all feeling this morning? I feel good. I want you to find somebody right in the congregation and go up to them and say, hi, my name is, and the Bible calls me healed. Or, hi, my name is, and the Bible calls me more than a conqueror. Go ahead. It's okay. You can go talk to people. What we want to do here is celebrate what the Bible says about us and not what someone else calls. What we want to do this morning is celebrate the truth of the Bible and not the facts of this world. Amen. Hi, my name is Mackenzie, and the Bible calls me a king and a priest. Hi, my name is Mackenzie, and God calls me perfectly and wonderfully made and fearfully made. That's what he calls me this morning. All right, go ahead.
We are a chosen generation, called forth to show his excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show his excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know.
Power.
talk to me. I like being talked to. So how many of you guys know that worship is a sacrifice? Amen. Amen. So hopefully we got some worshipers in here.
Provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice.
That sound great.
You provide the spirit. And I will open up inside.
Sing that again. You provide.
You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice.
You provide the spirit.
You provide the spirit.
I will open up inside.
I will open up inside. Fill me.
Jesus, we come before you in full expectation that you're going to do something great this morning. God, we know you, and we know that you want to change our lives. We know that you don't want the same thing over and over again. So God, prepare our hearts for a move of your Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. God, we're ready. We're ready for you to move.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven.
Holy Spirit,
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence.
Your kingdom come,
your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven.
Yeah. Holy Spirit,
holy,
worship God. We worship you,
with your love, your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love, your love surrounds us. Overflow, overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love, your
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us.
In the name of Jesus. Go. Oh. Worship you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here. He's working mightily in your life. Be like that woman with the issue of blood that says, I'm not going till I touch you, Jesus. See, God's got something for you today. He wants to build you, encourage you, and strengthen you. He wants you to know how much He loves you today. How compassionate He is toward you today. He cares about every single need that you carry. Cast your cares upon Him this morning, for He cares for you. Jesus, we just thank you so much that even though our burdens might be heavy laden, you can make them light, because you're the God who moves in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, that we're not serving a religious icon or a church. But we're serving you, our King. And we love you this morning and thank you for the honor and the privilege of worshiping you, letting you know how much we love you, how much we need you. And Holy Spirit, allowing you to move as freely as you desire. Lord, I thank you that you care. I sense there's an individual here, you're in the far back section, and you're wondering if God cares about you. And God wants you to know that He loves you. He hears your prayers. And at times you feel like you're alone, but He wants to secure you and let you know that not once have you ever been alone. He's always right there with you. Father, I thank you for your goodness in our lives. You are so nice, kind, and good. And we honor you this morning. And everybody said, amen. How many of you love Jesus today? Isn't he great today? We're not going to do meet and greet, but if you'll go right back to your chair. And when you get to your chair, if you can turn around to the person behind you or next to you and say, well, good morning. I'm so glad that you're in the presence of God with us. Hallelujah. Today is a very important and special day. Hallelujah. What I want to do right off the bat is say thank you for all of those who gave honor. Everybody turn to someone and say, honor brings access. Tell somebody else, honor, come on, honor brings access. Whenever you honor, you always know that you're opening up the blessings of heaven in your life. So honoring God, amen, that's your number one priority. That's my. Whenever we honor God, we enter into access of the heavenlies. And also, when we honor the men of God or the women of God, we also open ourselves up to access. We see that with the Shunammite woman. And today I want to say thank you for all of those who are here today because we have asked you to be. And I know that some people are here mainly just for that reason. And I want to say thank you for honoring my calling and my gifting and what God has done in this house. Today we have a message, the culmination of the message that we're going to end with today on truth trumps facts. But we don't want it to be just another message. You're going to hear the message that God has just for you. Turn to someone and say, God has a message just for you. You know, it's important that you recognize how powerful honor is. And as your pastor, you'll always know this. I am not a dictator. So whenever I ask for you to be here, there's a really, really, really good reason. And you'll always know if you obey that, according to Hebrews chapter 13, that blessing will come on your life automatically simply because of obedience. And so today, I'm going to release the blessing of Father in your life for the obedience that you've shown today. Father, I thank you. Release the obedience. God, I thank you that for the obedience of the sons and daughters in the house of God. Lord, I speak blessing over them. Lord, even as the Shunammite blessed with honor the prophet of God was releasing miracles in their lives. And today, God, we release miracles because honor brings access. Father, the greatest miracle is that they'll know you in a greater dimension. But then, Father, in every area of their life that they're lacking, for lack is not of God, that, Lord, they'll bring increase because of today's honoring of the gift. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, the Bible says if you give a prophet a glass of water, you should get a prophet's reward. And many times we forget the power of honor. And someday we'll preach a whole message on it. It's a great series. Today, I want to welcome all of our guests. First service was packed out. We had over 110 people, 110 computers online this morning. Probably 150 people from all over the world were watching the first service. And today, we're expecting, I believe, can someone give me numbers? Do we have any amount of numbers on there now for live stream? We got 50 people already off. 50 people already on live stream. We want to welcome you this morning, live streaming His Tabernacle Family Church. If you could do me a favor, if you could get on the chat section and tell us how many people are on the computer with you and where you're from, that would be a blessing to us. And we have people manning that chat right now. And so, can we give our online campus a hand clap this morning? That means over 200 computers already. That's probably 250 people plus have already been online with us with live stream this morning. We also want to welcome all the guests in the house this morning. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle Family Church, we're not going to make you stand. We're not going to embarrass you. But we do have a gift for you, and we want to say thank you so much for being brave. How many of you know going to a church for the very first time, it takes some bravery? Especially when you come to this church, because we're not a quiet church. How many of you know we're not a quiet church? Listen, it is important that when you bring a guest, you warn them. We are not going to a quiet church so that you don't scare them. We don't want any pee marks on the floor, nothing like that. You know, it's important that you recognize that we are a very excited church. And why are we excited? Why are we excited? Is Jesus dead? Oh, you mean he hears you? You mean when you praise him, he hears you? He's not a dead God like Buddha or Muhammad. He's a living God, amen? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. How many of you love Jesus? Amen. That's why we're loud in this place, because our God's not dead, he's alive. Amen? So if you're a first-time guest, we want to give you a present, and we also want to invite you right after the service into a guest reception. Right on the other side of this wall over here, on my left, your right, we have some food for you, some coffee for you, and we just want to meet you personally and let you know that we care and that we're here. We're very touchable people at His Tabernacle Family Church. This is not about building a conglomeration. This is about building God's family. Amen? Turn to someone and say, you're my family, whether you like me or not. Amen. So if you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle, if you'll raise your hand, somebody's going to come right to your chair and give you a gift. And if you're a first-time guest, if you'll just slide your hand up this morning, are there any first-time, very good young man right there? Is it yet? Oh, two young ladies in the front, in the second row. Young man in the first row. Oh, young man in the one, two, three, four, fifth row. Very good. Anybody else? First-time guest at His Tabernacle. Oh, young man right over there. You guys are attacking the front row. Did the front row young man get one yet? Front row. Front row. Glory to God. He's right in the spit zone. That's danger zone. Glory to God. Anybody else? First-time guests. Can we give our first-time guests a hand clap this morning? I want to remind everybody you should come three times. Turn to the guest and say three times. Uno, dos, tres. Amen. Three times. You need to come three times to the house. Why is that? Because the first time we probably have scared you a little bit, but you're going to be all right. After that, we want you to get acclimated to what heaven's going to be like. Heaven's not going to be a quiet place. It's going to be a shouting zone. Hallelujah. We're trying to get you ready for heaven. Amen. So we want to welcome all of our guests. Can we give them another hand clap? All the guests, first timers. Amen. Amen. We're going to receive the morning tithes and offerings. And we just want to thank you for being amazing givers. You are a very blessed people. Sometimes I'd like to start a little competition between first and second service, but we can't do that. But I would just love to see this service outgive the first service. Amen? Wouldn't that be exciting? More tithers in second service than first service? And I don't want to challenge you to be a tither. Why is that? It's not a competition. It's obedience. And God wants to bless you. Turn to someone and say, God wants you blessed. But many times we hinder and harness God by being the God over our own finances. And so what tithing is declaring that God is the king over our money. Now I want to tell you something. If you're a tither, you can't fail. If you're a tither, God is responsible to take care of you. There have been times when it's gotten tight. Anybody here ever get tight before in your finances? Man, I remember there were times when it was so tight, I had to make a decision. Am I going to buy food for my children or am I going to tithe? Well, that's when the rubber meets the road. Reminder, faith is theory until it's tested. Faith is theory until it's tested. And that day I had to make a decision. I'm going to tithe before I'm going to feed my children because the Bible says I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. And it's God's job to take care of me. And I told you that last week, I believe, when somebody came up with two bags of groceries. Not only every size diaper that I needed because I had three kids under the age of five, but he also brought home some steak. Glory to Jesus. And no one knew. God spoke to him. God will always make sure that you're taken care of. So be a tither. Turn to somebody and say, have faith. Have faith. Be a tither. Amen. You are a blessed church. If you'll all stand to your feet, if you're a guest here, what we do is we bring our tithes and offering to the Lord. Some people lay it on the altar. Some people put it in the offering basket. But you're not giving it to a church. You're giving it to your King. Amen. Are you ready to make your supernatural proclamation from the Word of God? Shout it out loud with me. If you obey, you are blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. If you're watching by live stream, I want to remind you, it's not just getting, but also giving. You know, there are almost 200 computers on today. I'm believing that you're even going to outgive anybody else. I'm believing that God's going to lay an amount beside your tithe, and you're going to be a sower this morning and sow to the kingdom of God. You can do that by hitting the button that's called give. We love you, and make sure you hang on. It's going to be an amazing service.
are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am, I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I work in miracles, I live a life of favor. Walking in power, I work in miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Oh, 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 I know who I am. Oh, 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 I know who I am.
Praise the Lord. How many of you know who you are in Jesus? I want to give a great testimony, and that is that my wife's book is done. Do we have a video? Oh, I get it right in the front. It's called No More Hurt. There's a book and a workbook. You can get them on Amazon.com. In a couple weeks, they'll be here as well. And no more hurt. Some of you have walked around with wounds in your heart for so long, you deserve to be healed. Can I hear that? Turn to someone and say, you deserve to be healed. That's the truth. So that book is done with a workbook. And then also, we just got a new order. I want to thank Dan Flatt. He's here this morning, and his company. They print these for us, multimedia, and they're phenomenal. Listen, I believe in supporting the house of God. Do you believe in supporting the house of the Lord? Listen, I only usually shop and go where people are in the house. I'd rather keep the money in the house than out of the house. I do that for a reason, because I believe that we got to support the brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? So I just want to encourage you to grab those. My wife and I want to make an announcement for you. Oh, Pastor Obi, I'm sorry.
I'll keep it short. How's everybody doing today? If I could have y'all jump up to your feet, that would be greatly appreciated. And I'd like to invite our senior pastors up to the altar. As they come up, come on, give them a hand of applause. Come on. This is the father and the mother of this house. They are incredibly phenomenal people. Who here, unfortunately, was not here last week? For some reason, either work or something else, you were in a coma or something, just lift your hands. Okay. Last week was a phenomenal celebration. We had the opportunity to bless the mother and the father of this house with a pastoral celebration in terms of pastor appreciation. It was just such a great time. You know, there was food, all that. But overall, we wanted to just say we just thank you. We want to just thank you for all you have done to this house and for this house. It's been over 18 years of blood, sweat, and tears, 18 years of praying for each and every single one of us. Personally, I've been here for 7 years, and I know my life is different because of them. And the word even declares in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Shout double. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, I just want to say you've passed that test. You have labored very well in word and doctrine. So today, for those of you that were not here last week, even if you were there last week, want to give you the opportunity to sow into their lives. Let us appreciate and celebrate them today. So if you were not here last week, or even if you were and you want to sow into their lives, just lift up your hands. We want to give you that opportunity. As you sow, you're going to be bringing honor. And as you're given honor, you're going to unlock and have access. They have so much in them that we need. Amen? So give you the opportunity today to sow into their lives. And as you have filled out your envelope, just bring it down. And we're going to just worship just one more time quickly. And we're just so thankful again, Pastor Rhonda, Dr. Michael, Most Holy Reverend Father, Dr. Michael Spencer. Two doctorates. We love you. We appreciate you. And we celebrate you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much. We're honored to be your pastor. And I don't want to stop people from giving. My wife and I just love so much the opportunity to be your pastors. And today, what we want to do is, how many of you came because of an announcement? Amen. We want to make the announcement to you. You can be seated. Some people were worried that we're leaving. That just means you haven't been here long enough. We told you we were lifers here, so we're not going anywhere. Amen. Amen. But we have a phenomenal announcement, and that is, do you want to make it? Good. Truth trumps facts.
And faith.
Okay. Oh, come on.
And faith.
Yeah, come on.
Get you. And faith is only theory until it's actually tested. And we can stand here today and say, it was tested. I have had a personal miracle in my body. How many of you have seen before a physical miracle before your eyes? Amen. How many of you have never seen a physical miracle happen before your eyes? Awesome, awesome. Well, today you're going to get to see a physical miracle before your eyes. Just before Rock the City, I started having problems, issues, and I ended up getting diagnosed with cancer. And God has healed my body. So, like, I have picture proof that by the end of this service, I'm going to show you picture proof of God's awesome miracle power, which every time I see it, it still takes my breath away of how phenomenal God is.
So, today, the great announcement is we still have Pastor Rhonda. Amen. And truth trumps facts. Truth trumps facts. I can't hear you. Truth trumps facts. Come on, one more time. Truth trumps facts. You see, God loves to work miracles. And now I'm going to go sit down so Pastor Rhonda can preach and prove scientifically a miracle.
Amen. So again, on September 12th began my journey with this negative report where they suspected it was cancer. I looked at this very kind and educated doctor and simply told her that it was okay because I had gotten down on my hands and knees and prayed and asked God to heal me, and I knew I was healed. So here I am, either a crazy person or God is going to do a miracle in my life. So the report, we got testing, and the report, we determined at this point when they started suspecting that it was cancer that we weren't going to tell anybody because I was not going to give the devil any glory. I was not interested in giving the devil any glory whatsoever. I wasn't going to give any glory to anyone other than God. God was going to be glorified in my body, not the devil and not his reporting. This started a deluge of testing. I was in and out of the hospital every few days. Needles, blood work, MRIs, CAT scans, scheduled PET scans, sedations, biopsies, and ugly bruises. The reports didn't come back the way that I was expecting them to come back. I got a call one of the nights from the doctor's office saying they wanted to meet me at 7:30 a.m., to speak with a doctor, and I knew that couldn't be good news that they wanted to share with me. He was a professional, and he does this kind of stuff every single day, very knowledgeable and very kind. He did not want to have to give me that report, but his report was that the biopsy had come back cancerous and that he was very, very sorry to have to tell me that. And I thanked him for his information and his knowledge, and I looked him in the eye and told him that it was okay because I knew I was healed. So at that point, I had to stand. And then after I had done everything to stand, I had to keep standing when report after report, I think it was over 7 different doctors that were testing me and working on me, that I had looked in the eye and said, despite their reports, it's okay. I know I'm healed. But the mind and the thoughts that come rushing in when you get such a report, and those religious thoughts that get in your mind, like, do I have sin in my life? Like, is there something that I'm not aware of that I'm doing wrong? Because I don't want to have sin in my life. And then as I was really just searching the scriptures for what God's word had to say, I realized that he took my sins and my diseases all in the same package. So nope, that wasn't one. That was just a lie. Do you know that when you get a negative report, the devil will come in with all of his lies to back up that report and just hoping that you will fall for one of them? Another was, why is this happening to me? Like, what did I try to do good, and why is this happening to me? There were times when tears would well up in my eyes and I would try to hold them back, and then there were other times where they would just flood out my eyes, and then there were times where the doctor's words would just replay over and over and over again. And those were words with no hope in them. Fear would grip me and take my breath away. I fought the pity party that Satan was trying to have in my name because I didn't want his reward. I had no interest in attending that party given in my name. I declared that Satan would get no glory from my life in any way. So now, as the nurse practitioner was staging me, based on doing this every single day, I stopped her respectfully and said, I hear you, but I need to tell you that I believe God has healed me. I could see the immediate panic in her face, like, oh no, she's not going to take care of this. I told her that it was okay, that I would go through whatever process that she needed me to go through. I wasn't going to negate going through whatever they needed me to do. Don't worry. I was going to follow whatever she said, but I knew that I was healed. And at that moment, she sighed a sigh of relief and said, I'm a Christian too. And she joined my corner from that moment on. I was swept into meetings with doctors telling me what they were going to do, not offering any kind of pill or quick treatment or answer, wanting to immediately start radiation and chemo 5 days a week, staging the cancer based on their best knowledge, but before the reports were even coming in. So I looked again at this doctor, who is the best in his field, and stopped him from continuing his diagnosis that he was telling me and what he was going to do. And the fact, he got to the point of saying, it's very important. Are you feeling signs of depression right now? Because your will to live is very crucial at this time. So I stopped him and said, respectfully, thank you, doctor, for your information. But I just have to tell you that I know God has healed me. So again, I'm sitting here, God, either they're all going to think I'm a crazy lady or you're going to get the glory. I'm setting you up, God, for you to get the glory in my life. In all of his professionalism of what he does day in and day out, he looked at me and said, I'm sorry. Once cancer is diagnosed, no matter how much you don't want it to be there, that's what it is. So I pleaded with him at our next testing if they would rebiopsy. I just said, please rebiopsy. I know God's healed me. Just do a rebiopsy, which he agreed to do. From the first moment of hearing the doctor's report, I started saturating myself with the truth of God's word, morning and night. We were playing the Word of God every single day. My husband was putting it on at night as we were going to sleep. It was in every area. One of the other rationalizations my brain was saying was, it's an attack of the devil. And for 1 second, it almost got me on, well, it's an attack of the devil. You've heard that in your life before. I almost accepted that. I almost accepted my diagnosis because it was an attack of the devil. And then everything inside of me stood up and said, wait a minute. How much more should I not accept this if it's an attack of the devil? Because he's not only trespassed on my body, now he's trespassed on the precious blood of my Jesus Christ. How dare he? So that statement, it's an attack of the devil, just arms me for battle and makes me stand up and want to fight. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. That price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ and all he paid for on the cross. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Another thought process that started in my mind was, I'm tired. I'm really tired. And it sure would be nice to have someone to carry me through. Sympathy seems like really great attention right now. Sometimes we accept the attack of the enemy for sympathy and for somebody to carry us through. But it is only our own faith that can make us whole. He looked at her and said, woman, your faith has made you whole. So if we're wanting to just be tired and have sympathy, it is just accepting it. And I could not afford to just accept that. Maybe you know about this feeling of being tired in the battle and standing therefore, and keep standing. It takes that night and day, replacing every thought in my mind with the Word of God. Every thought in my mind. When you have a diagnosis or a situation in your life, it is a thing that keeps playing over and over again, and it takes every day, all day, replacing those thoughts. It took not talking about it. I refused to talk about it. I didn't look anything up about it. I didn't care what any medical science had to say about it. All I wanted to know is what God's will was for my life, and it was to heal me. It took shutting off the TV and replacing it with the power of God. We were watching miracle services. I was watching people get healed before my eyes over and over again. So when it gets real and really real, and you're not getting the reports that you're declaring to doctor after doctor after doctor, in that time, keep standing. Keep standing. Keep warring. We do not have the luxury to be complacent. We need to hold fast to our faith. Nobody else's faith is going to work for me. I need to stand in my own faith. And you know, another thought that came to my mind was, well, maybe healing's just for like super special people or people with super strong faith. And maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe some of you in here have accepted what's come in your life because you feel like you don't have enough faith. I was feeling like maybe it's because I don't have enough faith. The Word of God says that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, then you can move mountains. It only takes the faith of a mustard seed. And the Word of God says that he is no respecter of persons. There's not anyone that he wants to heal and set free and deliver more than you. No one, not anyone on this earth. He is no respecter of persons. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not a formula of pat your head and rub your tummy, of what you have to do, jump through this hoop, do this thing. No, when I see in the Word of God, He healed them and He forgave them. He healed them in whatever situation it was that they came in. He still healed and delivered them. It is simply that we must believe that this is our truth, and our truth trumps facts. We must be convinced that this is His word. It is true for us. This is God's voice to you. This every word in this book right now to your situation, this is God's voice to you. Every word in here is God's voice. We must be convinced. We must be persuaded that it is His. He is no respecter. We must be persuaded that this is our truth. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This book is full of His promises, and God cannot lie. His word says, I am not a man that I can lie. God cannot lie. I want you to say it with me this morning over your situation. God cannot lie. This word, it's called the Old and New Testament. Do you know what a testament is, legally speaking? It is a will. You want to know God's will for you? It's not hidden. This is His will and testament for every single one of us in this place. These words on this page are His will for your situation. His will and testament, and you're listed on His will to receive all of the promises that are in His will. He taught us to pray, Our Father, we sang it this morning, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is His will for your situation. Stop making excuses or buying the lies that it is not for you. His will for you is that it be as in heaven, here on earth for you. There is no lack in heaven. There is no sickness. There is no disease. There is no pain. There is no sorrow. That is His will for our lives. It's in His book. God cannot lie. And we have to stand on that, in the face of symptoms, in the face of things that just aren't changing in front of us, when things aren't looking the way that we want them to look, we have got to stand on that this is true, it is true, it is true, it is true. It is our truth that trumps facts. Healing is God's will for all of us. To say the times of miracles as past is virtually saying what is opposite of this truth. That a will is no good after the death of the testator. And actually, a will goes into action after the death of the testator. So God's will has been released into action for your life. That's His word. He cannot lie. Until the person seeking healing is sure from God's word that it is God's will to heal him, he is trying to reap a harvest from someplace he has not sown seed. Until we are convinced from God's word, we are not sowing seeds of God's word. So that's like we're focused on our circumstance, the stuff that's written in black and white, the words that we're hearing. When we're focused on that and we think we're going to receive from this, it is a different planting. We are not going to receive from this when we are focused on the black and white written in the words and the circumstances and the symptoms. We have got to sow these seeds. At every stop, at every situation, at every crossroads, at every continuously, day and night, I would be quoting what the Word of God said. Every time they spoke something, I would quote what the Word of God said. I would say, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus combated the devil by saying, it is written, it is written. The seed, the word of God, this is powerless unless you plant it. Somewhere along the way in Christendom, we left our belief for human reasoning. And listen, I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about a blood-bought Christian pastor. Somewhere along the line, got confused between my belief and human reasonings of why you don't get healed, of why this, of your excuses. Somewhere along the line in Christendom, we've left believing that this word is our truth. It is literally our truth. If you believe, you will receive. That's what this book says. Say it with me. If I believe, I will receive. Oh, let's do it again. If I believe, I will receive. You see, I just really believe right now that even as we're speaking and sharing the word of God this morning, that your life is going to be transformed, that God's doing miracles right now in this place. God is healing and setting people free as his word is going forth today. In Mark 9:23, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All things. There's no exemptions in that all. There's no exemptions. You aren't a special case. You aren't a lost cause case. All things are possible if you believe. Matthew 21:22 says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. When did we become Christians that don't believe the word of God? We sit broken. We sit in lack. We sit in fear. We sit unhealed. But his word says, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So here I was presented with life and death, having the truth in my hands that trumps the facts. And all that religious junk in my head to combat. I had an onslaught of them to get through. But yet, I only had to believe. I only had to have faith in God. I only had to trust that all his promises are true for me, and that God cannot lie. I'm going to read some scriptures to you. This is the word of God to you right now this morning. This is God's voice to you in your situation. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, our wrongdoings. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's the truth. That's the word of God. Everything else is a lie. Salvation is for more than sin. And once again, an area that really God convicted me of, we make salvation just about saving us from sins. Salvation in this passage that we just read was not only for our sins, it was for our peace, and it was for our healing of every sickness and every disease. It's all one package. Salvation means to be made whole. Body, soul, and spirit, every area, it cannot be separated. It comes from the same package. We easily believe he forgives us our sins, don't we? We all believe it. And question if it's his will to heal us. Matthew 8:17 says, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. That's the truth. That's the word of God. So here, I was presented. Oops. When praying for healing, and we are only believing that he forgives our sins, it's like we're praying, if it be thy will to keep your promises. If it be his will to keep his promises, he says he keeps all of his promises. It's his will. This is his will to us. Psalms 91, 2 through 4. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him, for he will rescue me from every trap and protect me from deadly disease. He will cover me with his feathers. He will shelter me with his wings. His faithful promises are my armor and my protection. God cannot lie. That's his voice to you right now in whatever situation it is that you're facing. Psalms 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them. God cannot lie. Mark 16:17-18 says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God cannot lie. Exodus 23:25-26. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you, and I will fulfill the number of your days. God cannot lie. Psalms 103:2-5. This is what I did day and night. Day and night, one report after another that came back, not lining up with what I was declaring of the word of God. Day and night, I would just quote these things over those circumstances. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. This book doesn't just save you from your sins. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases. There's none too difficult. Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles? Actually, what's happening in your life is your youth is being renewed like eagles. Whatever you're seeing, I'm too tight. No, you're not. Don't share that report. Share the report that my youth is being restored like eagles. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. God cannot lie. Luke 4:40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick were cured of all diseases that they brought to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. God cannot lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's no respecter of persons. It is true for you, just like it was true for them. And it's truth for me. This is what I did every day, declaring God's word over myself. Matthew 4:23-24 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. I kept hearing that, repeating that in my mind. He healed all of every disease. He healed all of every disease. He healed all of every disease. You can't find it anywhere where he didn't. For no excuse and no religious reason, he healed them all. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of sickness and every disease among the people. All in every. God cannot lie. Matthew 10:1, and when he had called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. You can't find it anywhere where there was any exemption from the law, from his testament, from his will. God cannot lie. Jesus tried to withdraw from the crowds in Matthew 12:15, and it says they followed him. And he healed them all. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do. And greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What is God's will? Right here for you. It's his voice to you. And this is Peter in Acts 28:9. Then all the other sick people on the island came to him, and they were healed. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen. No matter how, there's not too many promises for you in this book that he can't keep up with them all. Every promise for you is yes and amen. God cannot lie. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, for this reason we thank God without ceasing. Oh, I thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which is also effectively working in those who believe. When we receive this as our truth, it works effectively in all and every one of us. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee. God cannot lie. Our attitude towards sickness should be the same attitude towards sin. Our purpose to have our body healed should be as definite as our purpose to have our soul healed. We should not ignore any part of this gospel. Forget not all of his benefits. Our substitute, Jesus Christ, bore both our sins and our sicknesses that we might be delivered from them. Christ's bearing of our sins and sickness is surely a valid reason for trusting him now for deliverance from both. Hebrews 6:11 through 12. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not be spiritually dull and indifferent. I am sorry to tell you, in my own conviction, I found myself dull, spiritually dull and indifferent. Somewhere along the line, we've become spiritually dull. But I'm telling you, when you're faced with life and death, it will cause you to choose life. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Proverbs 4:20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words. Don't give attention to your circumstances, to your symptoms, to the written reports. My son, give attention to my words. Night and day, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying, not what other people are saying. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Note the word find there. And health to all of their flesh. God cannot lie. Instead of having our eyes on our symptoms and being occupied with them, let God's word not depart from your eyes. When your eyes are upon the symptoms and your mind is occupied with them more than God's word, you have in the ground the wrong kind of seed for the harvest that you're looking for. Your symptoms may point you to death, but God's word points you to life. And you cannot look at opposite directions in the same time. We don't have eyes in the back of our head. We've got to look towards life. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we are destroying sophisticated arguments. You see, I had some very sophisticated, educated, knowledgeable arguments that were kind and wonderful people that were exalted and proud things that set up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive and making it obey the word of God. Every thought and purpose needs to be taken captive, and it must obey the word of God. Focusing on lying vanities is what Jonah called it, will cause us to forsake our own mercy. Let's read that in Jonah 2, 7 through 9. It says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered Jehovah. Now, this is Jonah. Let's just preface this. Remember, he was disobeying God. He was not doing what God told him to do. He was in the belly of a whale. It was really bad circumstances. It was sure death. There was no other option for Jonah. But this is what Jonah prayed at that point. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered Jehovah, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation being made whole is of Jehovah. And God spoke to that whale, and the whale immediately spit him out. Truth trumped facts for Jonah, because he refused to focus on lying vanities. The devil is the father of lies. He is a liar. It is more rational to expect God to keep his promises than expect him to break it. It is more rational for you to believe that God will keep his promises than for you to expect him to break it. And it is more rational to think that the devil is a liar, and anything that raises itself up against the word of God is a lie. It is more rational to believe that. Romans 4, 19 through 21 says, and Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his great faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he has promised. We base faith on our improvements, or are affected by our symptoms, or by what we see and feel, instead of by the word of God alone. Just to that extent, faith is not real. This simply means that everyone who, like Abraham, occupies himself with God's promises so that he is no longer affected by symptoms shall recover. It means the word of God, not what we see or feel, shall be the basis of our faith. Terry, can I have you help me real quick? The word of God is the basis of our faith. You see, I'm going to have Terry blindfold himself right real quickly. Now, when you're blindfolded, the only thing that you can see is darkness. So what he's seeing with his natural eye is darkness and hopelessness. But if I tell Terry to take a step forward and that he's going to land, that he knows, he just trusts that there's going to be something underneath him. But he's seeing darkness. He's seeing with his eye hopelessness. Go ahead, Terry, take another step forward. You're going to land on solid ground. Awesome. Now, Terry, come over to this chair. Now, there's a chair behind you. Go ahead and sit in it, and your bottom's going to land on something. That's not what he's seeing with his eye, though. What he's seeing with his eye is darkness and hopelessness, but it doesn't mean that the truth isn't really there. We need to hold on to, in the spite of what we're seeing, that this is our truth. No matter if you see hopelessness, if you're like Jonah and you're in the whale, we gotta know that we can step out and land on something. Because of God, his faithfulness and his promises, faith is the surest ground that you can stand on. Faith is simply spiritual common sense. We don't think with our minds. We think with the word of God. Why should a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom of God, believe the bare words of others and demand proof from our God? Jeremiah 1:12 says, and the Lord said, that's right. And it means I am watching and I will certainly carry out all of my plans. He watches over his plans and he will certainly carry them out. When we doubt his word, it's because we believe something else that is contrary to his word. God cannot lie. Psalms 119, 89 through 90 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever. Yesterday, today, and forever, his word is already settled in heaven. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is your truth today. I found in dealing with myself that I was at the intersection of on fire for God and complacency and lukewarm. And I was so convicted in Revelation 3, 15 through 16 in the Amplified. Let me read this. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, but that you are lukewarm, spiritually useless. I will vomit you out of my mouth. I could not afford to be in a place of being spiritually useless. And when we are lukewarm and we're unsure and we're undecided, and how many of us live like that, going back and forth and undecided, that is lukewarm, and that renders us spiritually useless. I could not afford to remain in that place of being spiritually useless. I had a decision to make. I was quick to choose for myself. I couldn't afford it, so I chose life. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let him not think he will receive anything from the Lord. We must be steadfast and remain steadfast and fully convinced and persuaded. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, James 1:6 through 8. For he who doubts is like the wave of a sea, tossed to and fro. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Have faith in God. He cannot lie. Doubt your doubts, not your faith. I love this passage so much. It just fired me up. I just could see God's life source flowing through me. It says in John 15:5-9, I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And my Father is glorified and honored by this. Literally, the life source of Jesus Christ is flowing through you every moment of every day. We are the branch connected to that vine. You know, in the Old Testament, they could just touch the hem of his garment for the power to be released to them. Right now, we are connected and united with that power. It flows through us all the time. The mighty power of God right now is literally flowing through every fiber of your being and your life because we are connected to him. If you believe, you will receive. And in that order, it's not you receive and then you believe. That's not faith. If you believe, you will receive. So I stood on the truth of the Word of God that trumps all the facts that I was literally facing over and over and day after day. After the re-biopsy, I got a call from the doctor, the one who is the best in his field, and the one that told me once it's declared cancer, it's always cancer. And he told me that the biopsy came back with no cancer. My response was, I told you, doctor, I was healed. And being the good doctor that he was, I don't fault him for the statement at all. It's a good doctor that does that. He said, well, you're going to have to go through all sorts of torture, poking and prodding for me to make sure that cancer is not in your body. I think they might have biopsied the wrong place. And so I told him, doctor, whatever you got to do, you're going to see the glory of God. So I went back for that further torture, poking and prodding with joy, because I knew that I was settled, I was fixed, and I was determined, even though my reports were saying differently, that my God had healed me. And I want to show you right now the test. So if we can start with test one. This is the first one that caused them much panic. In the bottom corner is the spot that was declared cancer. The results from test one was that it was a malignant tumor. These are the results. The doctor said once it's labeled, it doesn't change. And then test two, where I told them, please re-biopsy. The visible was even worse than the first one. So this next report on test two, this next report was staged T2, N2, with many malignant appearing lymph nodes that were visualized. This was the visual report of test two. But then a few days later, yes. Actually, in that one, I had been tattooed for this mark that was to be removed. And then the next test was the biopsy that he said must have got the wrong spot because it came back no malignancy. So then he went in for all the testing to be re-biopsied everywhere to make sure they didn't miss it. So we're going to go through these tests real quickly, but stop at test two real quick. Test one, test two. Now, no medication, nothing. I wasn't taking anything because that wasn't an option for me. That wasn't their line of thinking. 6 days after test two, go ahead and show them my miracle result. 6 days later, and the test results for this one on test three, biopsies showed no dysplasia. They biopsied everywhere. There's no cancer in my body. No cancer. 6 days. They hadn't met my Jesus. They didn't meet my Jesus. God is a God of compassion and mercy. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he cannot lie. Truth trumps facts. Do you believe for you? Do you believe today for you that this is your truth? That this is God's voice for you? Some of you in this place today, you need a financial miracle. You need truth to trump facts in your finances. I am telling you, take the word of God. He says he will provide, whether it be in the form of manna falling from the sky or it be in the promised land flowing with milk and honey. Your God will provide. He cannot lie. Stand on your truth. Miracles are coming in your finances. Some of you need truth to trump facts in your mind. fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of peace that passes all understanding. And some of you need truth to trump facts, in that you're a new creation and old things are passed away and you are brand new and no sin has any hold over your life. And some of you today need truth to trump facts in your physical body. And I can stand here and tell you that God heals all of every disease. It is your truth today. Man, we need a revival of believers in the church. We need people that will believe this word. I pray that a fire has been ignited in your believer today. And that as you also stand at the crossroads right now of being lukewarm and complacent and spiritually useless and on fire for God, that you too will choose life, that you will choose truth, and that you will choose to stand on the word of God. God cannot lie, and his truth trumps facts. You, with salvation, have been made completely whole. Every area, body, soul, and spirit. So today, maybe you're in this place and you don't even know Jesus. You've not even asked him into your life. That's a good place to start because he is a good God. He is a compassionate and merciful, awesome God. If that's you in this place today, I'm not even going to have you raise your hand. I just feel like the spirit of faith has been poured out in this place, and there's nothing in between you and accepting Jesus Christ today. So if today you've never asked Jesus into your life and you want to ask him in, or you've been so far away, you've been so lukewarm, you want to today ask Jesus come into your life and make all things new, I just want you to come forward right up to this altar this morning. If I can get you all to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. If that's you, please just be bold and come forward. God is going to change your life. Anybody in this place want to accept Jesus? All right, then I am confident you must all be saved because I don't know anyone who wouldn't want a good God. So in this place today, if I could have the prayer team and the ministers across this altar, today, things are going to change in your life. Faith has been planted in your life, every excuse abolished, and our truth stands. I want to pray for every single one of you. And then at the end, if you want to come up and just have somebody grab your hands, if you've been struggling with standing and standing, therefore, we have a group of prayer warriors that will pray you through to your miracle this morning. So let's just raise our hands. I want you for just a second, not very long, to just focus on that fact that's in your life because God's power is going to come and abolish it right now. Whatever it is, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare that your word is our truth and we stand on it and it alone. Father God, we know that you cannot lie and that you provide, you protect, you heal, you deliver, you set free. Whatever it is that we have need of, you will provide. You are a good and loving God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind up any attack of the devil. Because Satan, you have not just trespassed on us, you have trespassed on the precious blood of our Jesus Christ, and you have no right, no place. Daddy, we uncover him right now. He's trespassed on your son's blood, and he has no right. So we evict him right now in the name of Jesus, and we declare truth to trump every fact in our lives. We believe, we believe, we believe, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory and we rejoice and we fix our eyes on you and we will be steadfast and immovable. Your truth is your voice to us. We thank you. Give God a shout right now. Thank him and praise him. He is a good God. Be blessed as you go. I know miracles, signs, and wonders follow. follow every one of you that believe. If you're a guest in the house, please come join us in the guest reception. We would love to meet you. If you need prayer for anything, don't leave the same that you came into this place, because miracles are for you today. Come forward to the prayer team if you need prayer for anything.